We have finally come to the final one of the seven core convictions that Mennonites share. You see this listed on the screen, and let's begin by reading it together. This is a pamphlet that's available to you if you'd ever like to share this with people, and these are core convictions that Global Anabaptists share. So it's a good way of explaining to people what we are about. Reading together, we seek to live in the world without conforming to the powers of evil, witnessing to God's grace by serving others, caring for creation, and inviting all people to know Jesus as Savior and Lord. Shall we pray? Lord God, as your servants, might we now be people that hear and ponder and understand and go forth in faith. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. I would suggest to us that free will is perhaps overrated. We have less than what we think we might have. We're not quite as much in charge of ourselves as we might suppose. And by the way, I'm going to just stop here. Something is happening now with my screen that, tell you what, Barry, why don't you think of a good verse to sing? I don't want this thing cycling through and distracting me the whole time. Take a good hymn and sing a verse, and I'm going to get this fixed, and then we'll do it right. The pressure is on you and Dorothy. My problem has become, here I am, a living sermon illustration, because the first thing I said is free will is overrated. I thought I was in charge, but no. The computer was in charge because one little box was clicked that said advance after 10 seconds. But let's think about free will. How much do we actually do what we think that we're going to do? And sometimes we do that, but sometimes we don't. And there's a couple of easy examples of things that go on in our mind. For example, the tightwads and the spendthrifts. No matter how much money a tightwad has, it's hard to spend. You can get the richest people in the world, and it's just hard for them to give it up. There's something that has them captured. But on the other side, a spendthrift, no matter how little they have, they can't wait to spend more. And no amount of reality checking or education or coaching or whatever changes that pattern. Or, one of my favorites, you see it on Sunday morning, is early or late. Some people are always early and others are always late, and trying harder doesn't change this. And if you doubt that, if you're habitually early, try being late to something. It's like, you just can't do it. And if you're always late, someone told me once about church, and they referenced somebody that even if their bedroom was here in church, they'd be late to church. But we run on patterns. We do have patterns of our mind. Now, those are the ones that are in our heads. Paul is concerned about larger things, tendencies that capture us, and the language he used is the pattern of the world. And clearly he assumed that such patterns do have a hold on us. Now, how can we say that? That that is a fact. Well, he writes, do not conform any longer. Do not conform any longer. He didn't say, you know, this is kind of dangerous, don't get sucked into those patterns. He says, don't conform any longer. It's like, sorry, but you are in. That is what it is to be human. We take cues from our culture. We take cues from the world. They become a part of us. And then Paul says, now that you follow Jesus, don't conform any longer to these patterns. And in fact, start over with a process called the renewing of your minds. I don't know if you caught it in the introductory scripture that we read, the scripture memory verse. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your mind and with all your soul. Don't have a divided mind, taking cues from here and taking cues from there. Rather, we're to move from the patterns of the world to having the mind of Christ. And that means that we are going to conform to something. And Paul's call is to shift from the slavery to the patterns of the world to a reality where Jesus is Lord. And really the question is this: at a deep level, what steers us? What steers us? What shapes us? This isn't just psychology 101. I think we ignore this at peril to ourselves, both as individuals and congregations. For example, I doubt if any church ever sat down and said, you know, after studying the life and teachings of Jesus our Lord, and after earnestly establishing and confessing that the goal that Jesus set before us is to love everyone, after thinking all of this through, we have decided to become a segregated, racist church. I doubt if that ever happened, and yet how did it happen then that so many churches in the 1800s embraced slavery as a part of their faith? And how is it that racism still exists in Christian churches? Well, for those in the 1800s, that's just the way the world was in which they lived. That was their system. That's what held things together for them. It was in the culture, and it just seemed natural to conform. People, even Christians, absorb the norms and the patterns of the world, and then we make up reasons justifying to ourselves why it is right to act in ways that Jesus taught were wrong. Isn't that strange? I think you could find lots of examples of that where Christians make up reasons to justify doing what Jesus taught was wrong. Where does that come from? Now, the world is sneaky, and I know that I could overdo this. I debated, do I throw in one more example or not, but I thought we might as well have one that's pertinent to us Mennonites. It's one of my favorites, the way that a brigadier general who lived in the 1800s managed to sneak into most Mennonite churches and even mainline churches by the 1940s or the 1950s. This person had an idea for how groups should function, instructions on how we are to relate, and churches and church organizations just gobbled it up. They bought it as if it were a fifth gospel. His name was Brigadier General Henry Martin Robert, and in the 1870s, he published Robert's Rules of Order. And so when followers of Jesus would get stuck at a meeting, rather than calling for prayer, they would call for a point of order. Instead of appealing to the Holy Spirit, they would move the previous question, and that would force a vote, and the majority would rule. And just about everyone assumed that that particular pattern of the world should be the norm as well for followers of Jesus. And so you had congregations that would leave frequently upset with winners and losers. And it didn't seem to occur to people that other examples of how to relate were apparent in the Bible. Do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, and then you'll be able to test and approve what God's will is. And I put this core conviction up now because it uses similar language, but actually it's a little bit stronger. We seek to live in the world without conforming to the powers of evil. Without conforming to the powers of evil. I think what the conclusion is certainly we're cultural people, and there are certain cultural norms we have about decency and dress and obeying the laws and how we'll conduct ourselves. But some of those norms and patterns of the world are powers of evil. And we could go to any number of topics at this point. What would be patterns that we might talk about? I'll just throw these out as samples and we'll set them aside because I'm going to go in a little bit different direction, but lust, it's all over. Greed, selfishness, militarism, racism, sexism, on and on and on. What I'm going to focus on is just a three-letter word, Sarah in yellow. All. And inviting all people to know Jesus as Savior and Lord. Why all? Well, I would suggest to you that one of the patterns of this world, instead of all, is some. Some means there is us and them. Our friends that we favor and our enemies that we don't. We love some, not all. And so you see these kinds of divisions. There are legal citizens and illegal aliens, Americans and foreigners, Republicans and Democrats, liberals and conservatives. And I named those just to illustrate this. Look how it seems if one puts in the other word. And inviting some people to be a part of who we are and what we honor. Inviting some people to know Jesus as Savior and Lord. Once you start to think some, it seems natural then to assume a divide. And one in a heartbeat can slip into assuming that there are those of us and then there are those people. And Jesus is on our side of the divide and Jesus is not with them. The world that we start to imagine is not a world of the entirety being the kingdom of God, but there are the good people, the blessed people, the acceptable people, those that we feel good emotions about, and then there are those who are a threat, and we're angry at them, and we're upset with them, and we wish they would disappear from our lives, and we just as soon that somebody would take care of them. They don't bear the image of God. That is a pattern of the world. They don't bear the image of God. And therefore, it's okay to fit right in with the world and stay angry with those people and to treat them scornfully. They need to be defeated, not invited. Inviting some people to know Jesus as Savior and Lord. And the rest need to be defeated somehow. So, depending on the cultural waters and the political waters and the emotional waters in which you swim, the divisions of us and them varies, but one starts to feel justified in just ignoring anyone who is on the margins of who we are. Sometimes that's the hungry, the naked, the imprisoned, the marginalized, as if Jesus didn't mean what he said when he said, "Inasmuch as you did it to them." The pattern of the world is to make up reasons why ignoring those people is okay. I always try to be careful to not politicize this pulpit in an overtly secular way. So you need to fill in the blanks yourself, but if you think of the politics of our time, on the one hand, you can find, shall we say, the liberal voices that would be extremely dismissive of, angry toward, and upset with people who don't share their vision for how things could go. And on the conservative side, you would find equal dismissiveness toward classes or groups of people, and inaccurate blaming and categorizing and stereotyping and so forth. I think you see it on both sides. It's not hard to illustrate if we would go into specifics. The pattern of the world is to make up reasons why we leave people on the other side of the divide. Maybe we blame them and we defend why we need to keep them out, and if necessary, we will kill them because they are our enemies. And you have heard it said, and that's the way it is. Everyone knows that. After all, obeying Jesus only goes so far. I think there is very little question that divisions and polarized us and them thinking is a serious pattern of the world in which we live. And far often than I would admit or like to admit publicly, I feel myself conforming to this way of thinking. And it causes me to remember then, sometimes at the last minute, my need for the renewing of my mind so that I can find God's good, pleasing, and perfect will. Free will is overestimated. Our life task is to make ourselves a slave to Christ. And so, I think it's particularly appropriate that this morning we have communion. Communion stands as a direct challenge in a winsome way to all of those impulses that would wish for a church that had just people that mainly fit in with us as if it's our church. It stands as a reminder that in God's eyes, the invitation is to all, acceptable and unacceptable, whatever color, political persuasion, or whatever. But if you start from the point that says, I seek to have the mind of Christ, and whether one is on the journey this far or far down the journey, and even if we find ourselves in disagreement, we are confident that the journey and the invitation is for all, inviting all people to know Jesus as Savior and as Lord. Do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world. Know those steering winds that would take you to places that are anything like but the place where Jesus would have you be. But be transformed then by the renewing of your mind, and then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, His good, pleasing, and perfect will. Without conforming to the powers of evil, witnessing to God's grace by serving, by caring, and by inviting. May it be so. Amen.